it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
And welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler at Home Edition. We're recording from my little makeshift home studio here in Chapel Hill because WCHL is, of course, committed to everyone's safety and all of our guests are on the phone. We thank our listeners off the top. If the sound quality of our program is a little bit less than what you're accustomed to, we hope that you'll give us feedback either on Twitter or by email. You can email me, genebolduc@gmail.com, and let me know what you thought of the show, what you liked, what you didn't like, and if you had any problems in listening to it, especially if you listen to it online. The sound quality at WCHL in these talk shows is going to be a challenge for the next few months, we think. And we're going to take a shot at doing this from my at-home studio. And of course, when you want to take a chance and try to get something right, what you really want is a good friend like Sharon Hirsch on your side. Sharon is joining us today by phone. Sharon is the CEO, Chief Executive Optimist of Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina, and our good friend of the show joins us very often, and especially now when we need her most. Sharon, be optimistic. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's a really important time to be able to share what we're up to.
And tell me just generally, first of all, I think all of America and probably the world has changed, and I'm going to ask you the very first thing first. How's your family? Is everyone healthy? Is everyone adjusting okay to our new reality?
Yeah, my whole family is doing okay. My husband and I are here, holed up for the last month. We were on vacation when all of this really hit. We were overseas, and you know, we were among those folks that got the frantic phone calls at 2:30 in the morning,
right?
Europe time, saying you need to come home and you need to come home now.
Right.
And thankfully, we were able to calm ourselves and realize that the original plan would be just fine because we flew through the UK. But we're fine. We self quarantined for 14 days when we got back, and we're both doing fine, other than allergies.
Right.
And our kids have stayed separate. My son is here in Durham with his fiance, and they've...
Yes, congratulations on that news, by the way, expanding the Hirsch family.
Expanding the Hirsch family, but a little bit in a delayed way, because they were supposed to get married in May, so we've already had to delay a wedding. And my daughter is out in Phoenix with her boyfriend and is doing just fine. Our extended family has been hit by COVID. My sister and two of her children have had it, but they have thankfully recovered now. It was really, really rough, but they're going to be okay. And my sister now proudly says she is a COVID survivor, which is great.
That is absolutely fantastic. I'll be glad to hear, and I hope you'll keep us up to date on their progress in recovering, because the fact that they've been through the worst of it doesn't mean that it's over for them. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to be an extended recovery period, right? And I know they're in good
hands. They've already been through more than 2 weeks of the illness. And my sister, just the last time I've talked to her, and we're talking tonight, is she's been at 90%.
Wow.
Which is really great. Really great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's clean living, right? That's what accounts for mm-hmm. that. Yeah. That would probably not be my situation.
Well, and she's also a very fit person anyway, and eats very healthy. So.
Yeah,
really,
I know she's
helped her out.
So that investment is paid off for her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right. Sweating out all those times during her activity when she felt like she hit the wall and kept going. I'm glad for her that she did, and mm-hmm. that it's benefited her so directly.
Me too.
I'm sorry, go ahead. We're going to have a delay, folks. So that's one of the things we're going to have to deal with, I guess. Go ahead.
And your family is doing okay.
My family is doing great. So far, so good. I don't know anyone in our family who has been infected with the virus. We were just talking before we started that we've been doing Zoom calls with my 91-year-old father and a far less than 91-year-old stepmother in Florida. And, you know, they're nervous. It's all around them. Mm-hmm. And they're both definitely in a vulnerable population. And so this has been very isolating for them and difficult. So my siblings and I have conspired, we might say, to have a weekly phone call. My father hasn't seen his children this much in 25 years. I'm not sure if he feels like that's necessarily for the best, but that's the case. And we've been enjoying the Zoom calls. You know, if you, for folks out there who haven't used Zoom yet, I don't know who you are. And I don't know how you've managed to escape this particular thing. It's like FaceTime. It's just video conferencing. But one of the really fun things that you can do on Zoom is you can select a virtual background, which means you can select an image of any type. They give you two samples, but of any type that you like, and you can use it as a background in your picture. So if you don't like the background that your home or your spare bedroom provides, you can use a virtual background. And the one that I use during my calls, I've used a couple of them. I've noticed that everyone, by the way, including Sharon Hirsch, seems to have a bookcase in the background. It's like the secret signal of all of YouTube channels that people do these things with a bookcase in the background. It's just a funny thing, right? And so so a friend of mine said that he was concerned that everybody had more impressive books than he has. So the books that I, the background that I use is a background from, of books from the Library of Congress, which is this massive display of books of, you know, probably, you know, 10,000 books in the background. So I use that one, and I use one, of course, pictures of my grandchildren, but last week, the one that I used is the 12th hole at Augusta National Golf Course, which is the only time you're going to see Augusta this year. Is a snapshot of it.
Well, there you just gave me a beautiful segue, because we have a background that you can download to commemorate Child Abuse Prevention Month.
You do, and that's what gave me the idea to create one for my show. And I thank you for allowing me to steal that wonderful branding idea. And why are you using it now?
Because it only works when you've got a green screen or a blank wall behind you. When you don't have it, it kind of looks pixelated and kind of funky.
Actually, Sharon, that's true if you're using your computer. But I found that on my iPhone, not using any special background at all, it worked great, which is why on the family calls, I use my iPhone. And the picture is better, too. Not for nothing. So while we're here on the radio giving everybody tips on how to do Zoom effectively. But hey, listen, it's a new world, and we're going to talk about all the adjustments that we've all had to make to just make it work. For those of us fortunate enough to continue our work, as Sharon does and I do, from home. I've been working from home for many years anyway. But there's a lot of social adjusting to be made, and to put it mildly, there's stress on everybody's family by being with your family all the time. All the time is not easy, and the younger your kids are, the more stressful it can be. So we're going to talk about all of these things, and we're going to talk about the things that Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina is doing for April, which is Child Abuse Prevention Month, this year and every year. We're going to talk about some of the reporting that you all have that I just thought was stunningly impressive, having to do with great outcomes for programs like Incredible Years, which I've participated in as a grandparent, supporting my daughter as a new parent. And I can't say enough nice things about it. In fact, Sharon is going to want to send a copy of this program to everyone she knows listening to me brag about Incredible Years, which is a terrific program to help new parents, especially of children who are toddlers up until preschool years and young children who can be very, very challenging. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back shortly. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Sharon Hirsch. And we're back. We're talking with Sharon Hirsch, CEO of Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina. Sharon, April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. We want to talk about many of the things that you would have been doing this month anyway with your organization. But start out by telling me, how has your organization, just among your staff, how is everyone adjusting to not being in the same room together? I know that you worked remotely anyway a lot of the time, but tell me how this has affected your organization.
Well, most of our staff work remotely already. So for the majority of them, the way that they do their work hasn't changed. But for us in April, we spend a lot of time traditionally at events, planning pinwheel gardens across the state, right, making presentations. And of course, all of that work has come to a grinding halt. Oh. We've had to reimagine Child Abuse Prevention Month. And we've done it in a way that I'm really proud of, where we've really ramped up what we're doing online. Yeah. And we're sharing a lot of really important information, really built around the protective factors framework, right, which are the five protective factors that we know prevent abuse and neglect. And it's enabled us to highlight some of the work of our partners. For example, today, this week, our theme for the week is parental resilience. And so on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, we're sharing video content from our partners at Safe Child over in Raleigh. Right. And they're talking about how they foster parental resilience. Right. Last week, we featured communities and schools in Durham and focused on knowledge of parenting and child development. So right, each week, we'll focus on a different protective factor. We're also really deeply aware that this coronavirus is exacerbating two of the most serious risk factors for child abuse and neglect. And those are social isolation.
Right.
And financial stress for families. Yeah. So we're really concerned, and that's why the message that we send, that we've got to foster connection and support and strengthen families, is more important now than ever. And it's why we've changed the message and the theme for Child Abuse Prevention Month. So this year's theme is everyone can make great childhoods happen, especially you, especially now. Right. And we're encouraging folks to be a connection. So we use the hashtag Be a Connection and Great Childhoods as the ways to help folks find that content online.
You know, it's fascinating that there's just this global awareness now with absolutely everyone having to participate in these social distancing steps that we're all taking, which is not just not being at work. It's in everything. It touches absolutely everything you do in your life. The most routine, ordinary things of going out to the mailbox and greeting your neighbor at the mailbox, that you have to be aware of how you keep your distance, being in line at the grocery store or pharmacy, anywhere you are. You have to be aware of this all the time. And that this is a thing that doesn't work, these mitigation steps, they don't work unless everyone does it. And we are now we're recording today on April 8th. This program will air this weekend. But we're just today seeing that the curve is flattening in California and New York in reducing hospital admissions. And people are seeing that this massive effort to have every single citizen play a role in reducing the spread of a virus is having the result of keeping everyone safer. I think that you know better than I do, you've been closer to working in the area that's closer to public health than I have. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that you've worked in public health, but you're right adjacent mm-hmm. to it right. in working in social services and protective services for children. And I think that in the hypothetical and in an academic sense, that you and I have understood for a very long time that every single thing that I do that helps another child, not just my child, but another child, and then another person, a person standing in line with a crying baby who's stressed out, that if you speak to that person and you help them to try to get a deep breath and relax and realize that it'll pass, and all those small support things that we do for other people along the way in our lives, we've known hypothetically and even academically through studies that these things add up to big results. They prevent injury and they reduce everybody's stress level. We've known this, but now we see this on a dramatic scale. A dramatic scale. I mean, you and I could never have imagined this, even though we kind of knew it to be true, right? But it's
absolutely.
It's good news and bad news too.
Yeah, the research is very, very clear. Right. There are researchers that study neurobiology and the science of connection.
Right.
And we're wired for connection.
Right.
Our brains have those synaptic connections, but we're right. actually wired to be connected to one another.
Yeah.
And that's why this time is so stressful for parents. We've got school and workplace closing that increase parental stress. And there's the loss of income. There's a loss of things like paid leave for a lot of employees that right. are working in hourly situations. Don't get paid sick leave.
Right.
Don't get paid leave when the job's not there. Childcare is not as readily available right now. And that's another increased stress, food insecurity, and school meal programs. And we know from the CDC, which is all about public health prevention,
right.
that family isolation is one of the leading risk factors. Actually, as you talked about public health, we use a public health approach at Prevent Child Abuse
right.
North Carolina.
Right.
Our work is grounded in the CDC's Essentials for Childhood framework for preventing child maltreatment.
Right.
And a lot of the work is focused on broad public education about what works to prevent child maltreatment, normalizing things like going to a parenting class and taking advantage of parenting education programs and other parent supports is a big part of that work in a public health sense.
Well, and you know, you mentioned the parenting class, and I'm gonna sound the horn for Incredible Years mm-hmm. yet again, because my daughter-in-law, as you know, learned about your classes that are offered through Orange County. They're offered all over the state. Mm-hmm. And you had told me about it, and then my daughter-in-law told me about it completely independently, having no idea that I had talked to you about it or had any association with it at all. And she invited me to come with her. And I did. And I mean, I had nothing like this when I was a young parent and would have really benefited from this when I was having my first child, especially. My in-laws are far away and my parents and my in-laws mm-hmm. are all in other states far away. But the main thing is, when they talk about there not being a manual for raising kids, boy, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there was one, if you were raising a kid now, there'd be a completely different manual than what it was 30 years ago. So you'd have to throw that book away. There are so many changes in what we know about the impact that parents' behavior has on children, and the dramatic beneficial impact that being positive has toward children. I'm going to have to take another break, but when we come back, I want to talk about that, because I think that that's much more important now than it even ever was before. And it's hard to imagine that standard because it was incredibly important before. So right, we're going to...
Connections matter. We need to reinforce that over and over.
That's right. Hashtag connections matter. We're talking with Sharon Hirsch from Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina. You're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler at Home Edition on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be right back. Don't go away. And we're back with Sharon Hirsch, all the way from coming to us live, recorded, all the way from Durham, North Carolina. I can't believe you made it. This should tell you everything you need to know. I was so relieved when you got home from Europe. I couldn't believe it. I was like, geez, I mean, I always thought it was going to be fine, but you know, I took a deep breath. I just couldn't believe it.
I've been amazed by how many people in my life have given me that same response,
I know it made you feel good knowing everybody was freaking out that you and Sharon's posting pictures. Oh, here we are, we're going, oh no, please put yourself in bubble wrap and come home. So I'm glad you were courteous enough to update us constantly during your quarantine at home. And I'm glad that you and Steve enjoyed that relaxing little honeymoon trip before coming back and having this honeymoon that's going to last we don't know how long. This is another point, though, is that we don't know how long. And so the anxiety of the uncertain future of this event, this worldwide pandemic event, is another thing that wakes people up at night and keeps them awake. And sleep deprivation is never good. But I do want to talk a little bit about positive parenting. I'm sure that this is one of the protective factors that you so mm-hmm. often articulate for us. I think that people should know that no matter how good you are at this thing of having kids and loving your family, you can still do better. No matter how good you are at this, you can always do better. And one of the things that I found, and my daughter-in-law found, was that as we were going through the course and finding these very specific things in the Incredible Years course, and if you're not familiar with the Incredible Years, go to Sharon's website and check it out. What's the website, Sharon?
It's PreventChildAbuseNC.org.
Thank you. Go to PreventChildAbuseNC.org and check out the Incredible Years program. And one of the things that you learn about is to sort of monitor yourself and keep track of, or pay attention is more accurate. Pay attention to making positive statements instead of reactive negative statements, instead mm-hmm. of saying, stop doing that, no, don't do that, suggesting, and we're talking about toddlers now, of asking for and describing what you do want. Let's do this instead. Let's put toys away now. Let's put toys away. So what my daughter-in-law does is she has a little song that she made up when it's time to put toys away. And it's a toys away song, which I will spare our listeners by not singing, because I respect our listeners too much. But she does, and she does that every day at the same time, uses her phone to set a timer for when it's going to be toys away time. So the other thing that my grandson gets is what I would call fair warning, which is, okay, mm-hmm. 5 minutes. When children know, and I found this in being the babysitter too, when children know what's coming next and when it's coming, the meltdowns are rare. At least for me, they're rare. I'm sure my kids see more because, they're the parents, so they mm-hmm. get a different set of behaviors a little bit than grandma does. But I find that I communicate with him, my grandson, directly, specifically. We're going to finish lunch now, and then after we clean up, then we're going to go to the potty, and then we're going to go take a nap, because that's what we're doing. And we do it the same way every time. The routine and the predictability really matters. We always know that children like structure. But, you know, I think parents, yes. I think parents like it too. I think it helps all of us.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
Well, I think all of us need expectations
yeah.
and routines. It helps ground everyone. Clarifying what we want to see instead of what someone's doing wrong.
Right.
It's also a key part of our messaging too. And that's why we talk about being a connection.
Right.
We're not encouraging folks to socially isolate. We're saying be physically distant, but socially right. and emotionally connected.
I've noticed.
It's super, super important.
I'm sure it's different. I'm sure it's part of the work that you're doing, but I've really noticed that in the media, they've stopped using that term social distancing and they've called it physical distancing.
Yeah. I think it's because
for this reason.
Exactly. I think mental health professionals, experts across the country have raised the alarm bell that if we stay socially isolated, we're going to create bigger problems down the road.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so that making sure that during a difficult time like this, you know, a big part of what we talk about too is resilience.
Right.
And that's, you know, the ability to adapt and cope and thrive despite tough times. Well, the way that you do that is through relationships.
Right.
So you've got to maintain those. And that's why we just thank our lucky stars that we've got Zoom and we've right. got FaceTime and Google Hangouts and all the other technology to foster that, because we know what will happen if folks become too socially isolated.
Right.
It creates too much stress. And that's why we reimagined all of our Child Abuse Prevention Month activities to be done online in a way that folks can interact and have relationships with one another in that arena instead.
So what else? You all are also engaging right now in your strategic planning. I assume that this has shaken up a certain amount of your strategic planning going out 6 months in a year.
Well, we've gotten to a place where we've got a broad framework for where we want to go. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to serve us really well in this process. Our mission is that we make prevention a priority for North Carolina, and that all communities have the knowledge, support, and resources they need to prevent child abuse and neglect. And we see that work in a couple of big buckets. One is policies right. that prevent abuse and neglect and aligned investments. Mm-hmm. Another is helping communities build the capacity at the local level to prevent child maltreatment.
Right.
And the other is all about communicating that information in a way that supports policy investments and community capacity building. And I think that broad framework will serve us really well. I think our policy agenda will likely move more to focusing on concrete supports for families in times of need, which is a key protective factor. We have focused a lot of our work at Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina historically on knowledge of parenting and child development through those prevention programs like Incredible Years, Strengthening Families, Triple P. And we'll probably have to talk a whole lot more about why those economic support investments are so, so critical. We've been big advocates for the last couple of years for an expansion in paid family and medical leave. That's, you know, just the tip of the iceberg on what families are really going to need the next 3 months. The next 3 years, as we're right. certain to experience a recession. We know that the way that we've designed a lot of systems in our society is coming into clearer focus for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that parents right now are being asked to work at home, to be good parents, and to teach their kids at the same time
right.
is utterly insane. There's a reason why we have teachers and childcare providers and people have jobs that are actually completely and totally separate from those other two functions. It's impossible yeah. to do all three things at once.
Exactly.
But it is kind of laid bare that we've got policies that are inadequate for supporting families. We're as a society, we very much talk about valuing families and hard work, but our policies haven't valued families as much as they valued hard work. And I hope that this pandemic gives us the foresight to see that we have to change some of those things. And it's not just paid family leave. It includes the fact that our healthcare system or healthcare access is tied to employment. We've seen millions of people have had to go on unemployment and they're losing their access to health insurance.
Right.
The only country on the planet where this is happening.
Yeah, that should have been decoupled years ago.
And we know that parents are working from 8 to 5, but schools are only open till 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there's this key period of time at the end of the day where a lot of families struggle with who's going to take care of their kids because there isn't universal access to after-school programs. We're seeing childcare centers that are closing left and right as a result of this crisis. And it's a system that's been underfunded. People are poorly paid. The reimbursement rates are not good. And we're very worried about the infrastructure of our childcare community being really deeply damaged by this experience. When families have to go back to work, will these mom and pop childcare centers be able to reopen and survive this crisis? So there are some really, really big policy opportunities for us in this crisis. I always try to remind myself that there is a challenge, or there's a challenge in this, but there's also an opportunity to make things better. And I hope we never go back to exactly the way things were, because exactly the way things were wasn't great. But not great for everyone. And if we can focus on making things, build it better when we build it back.
Right.
That will be an amazing outcome from this.
Right. Right. Well, we're gonna talk a little more about things being great when we come back. We're listening to 97.9 The Hill, the Weekend Water Cooler at Home Edition, with our guest today, Sharon Hirsch from Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back with a few more minutes with our good friend, Sharon Hirsch from Prevent Child Abuse North Carolina. Chief Executive Optimist. How long have you been with the organization now? Is it about 3-4 years now?
It's 4.5. It'll be 5 years this fall.
Oh, man. Are you planning a virtual party?
I may be.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. They're lucky to have you. And I want to use that as a jumping off, actually, to... Mm-hmm. You know, let's talk about the future. I feel like, I mean, the last show that I recorded in the studio was with my good friend, Orange County Commissioner, unfortunately outgoing now, Penny Rich. And I said to her, and this was in early March, that I didn't think the conventions were going to, the political conventions would happen in person. I predicted that then. I'm pretty confident that that's going to be correct. I don't think that... schools will open in the fall. I'm skeptical. If they do, it's just going to, everything's going to be different. Everything's going to be really different for quite a while, I think. So tell me what you guys are doing to, I guess the important thing is not that things are different, but that we can adapt.
Yeah, we've been adapting really quickly. One of the things that I have found to be really exciting is that folks have started to use Zoom in a way that they haven't before. And so we're able to adapt the way that we're supporting parent educators across the state. We were very nervous at first that parenting education and parent family support programs were going to stop meeting. But after the first week, there's been a lot of what I like to say is adapt, adjust, and overcome has been happening. And even the national purveyors of evidence-based programs have started to share adaptive uses of those programs so that they can be delivered virtually. And educators across, it's fantastic. Educators across the state are checking in with the parents in their groups virtually. We're starting to support agencies in delivering Circle of Parents and Triple P in a virtual way. Triple P is the positive parenting program, and it's one of the most rigorously evaluated parenting programs in the world. And those folks have adapted really quickly. They're going to adapt how they train practitioners to deliver the program. And we're going to be providing more direct supports to service delivery agencies across the state. Triple P is a great option for families right now because there's an online version, and there always has been, of Triple P. So all you have to do is Google Triple P. And when you get to the website, it geo caches it, so they know you're from North Carolina, and you'll be able to access the online basic version of Triple P for any parent. You do that right now. And it's an incredible resource for folks. We're also doing amazing things, like we've even screened the documentary film Resilience on Zoom and had a community conversation.
Is that right? I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, that's great.
So it's pretty incredible. There's the ability to have training done via Zoom is terrific. You can even break out people into breakout rooms on Zoom to have small group conversations. So I think one of the things that will come from this is probably a lot less travel across the state.
Right.
And for a lot of our small rural communities that don't have big budgets for things like professional development, we're going to be able to provide access to resources, training, and support that they might not have otherwise been able to do. We've even had virtual site visits for some of the programs in the last 2 weeks.
Well, you know, something else that Penny Rich, our county commissioner, our chair of the county commissioners in North County, something else that she's been advocating for years, and I think is even more important now than ever by orders of magnitude, is to get broadband access, have that be treated as a utility. And now you can see and enjoy my son's cat has just jumped up on the back of my chair. She's wanted for that to be treated as a utility for a long time, and wants to see public investment in getting broadband access out to the most rural locations in the county. I mean, I just think that that's extremely important now.
It's incredibly important. There's a committee of the legislature that's currently meeting to develop the state legislature's COVID response.
Right.
And the feedback that we gave the committee was both around centering some policy solutions around the five protective factors and the essentials for childhood framework. But we also really raised up the need for broadband access, particularly in rural communities. That's been the challenge, is that some agencies don't have good Wi-Fi or other broadband access that makes delivery of services remotely super difficult. And it's been difficult also for a lot of families to access the services remotely because they don't have it in their homes, or their kids are they're trying to work from home. Their kids are trying to do their schoolwork virtually, and it really overloads the systems that are in place for personal Wi-Fi. I mean, I had a presentation last night and my personal Wi-Fi didn't behave.
Well, it's a very annoying thing when technology lets us down. And I just want to say my loving tribute to the creators of Zoom have allowed me to now record our conversation today. I hope will allow me to do this in the future to produce new programs for WCHL. We're hopeful that we can do some really good and creative things with this that will allow folks to continue participating and enjoying content on the radio station.
We've got a couple of things.
We can put it online. So
we've got a couple of things happening for Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Yes.
that are virtual. So, for example, on Friday, April 17th, we're going to have a virtual town hall with Prevent Child Abuse America.
Oh, great!
And so our national CEO will be part of that town hall to have a conversation. And she's also the author of the CDC's Vital Signs report that was released this fall that found that 5 of the top 10 leading causes of death are correlated to adverse childhood experiences.
Oh, wow.
And that if we prevent ACEs like child abuse and neglect, we can, examples of those numbers include, you know, we could prevent 22 million fewer cases of depression in this country. That's more than twice the population of North Carolina.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a condition right there that's extremely exacerbated, you know, because of this pandemic. And we're in this for a period of time. So I'm sure that cases will rise.
Yep. We're also doing a digital advocacy day on Wednesday, April 28th. where we're going to be encouraging folks across the country to contact Congress about the need to invest, particularly in the community-based child abuse prevention.
Right.
Block grants. It's not a block grant. It's a grant program through the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act that has only received an increase in funding for the first time in 20 years this past year. And it was only $16 million nationwide.
Nationwide.
So, nationwide. And we were thrilled because it's the first increase we've seen nationwide. But the prevention programs are terribly, terribly underfunded. And so this is an opportunity to be educating folks all month long about the importance of these investments and to get people mobilized. And then we're going to finish up the month, Gene. You're going to appreciate this. We're going to have a national sing-along on Friday, April 30th, online. And I'm not sure what song we're going to sing, but stay tuned. Pun intended.
Yeah. Oh, that is going to be, make sure everybody hits the record button for that one.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yes. Well, I'm glad to end on something that's going to be fun.
Yes. We need fun.
We need much more fun, and we can always count on our Chief Executive Optimist to provide it. I thank you again, Sharon, for joining us. And for everybody who's listening to the Water Cooler out there, let me hear from you. Text me. Well, don't text me. tweet me at Gene Bolduc. You can use the hashtag WCHL. You can use the hashtag Weekend Water Cooler. You can use whatever darn hashtag you want. And let us know how you're listening to the program and what's going on with you and how you're doing. Sharon, thank you once again. And I hope to talk to you soon. Good luck with everything this month and beyond. And congratulations on your 5 years.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share this incredibly important message, especially now.
Yes, great stuff. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, Sharon. And everybody have a great weekend.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.